Lunch with Pippa Hudson.
And now,
Consumer Talk featuring Wendy Nola.
Wendy's joining us via Skype again today, and we are going to be taking a look at the issue of cell phone woes, this time around the devices themselves and their warranties, rather than the usual complaints around contracts and airtime that go with them. We're going to reflect on the issue of price gouging in the wake of looting in KwaZulu-Natal. We'll also make space for some open line questions as well. So as always, you're invited to call us to join the conversation on 021-446-0567 or to pop through a voice note on 072 567-1567. Hi, Wendy. Great to have you with us, even if it must be via Skype.
Yeah, better than nothing. Hello, absolutely. Pippa. Good to be with you.
Wendy, today we're taking a look at the interesting issue of whether it is fair for a manufacturer or a retailer to not entertain a warranty claim because the product is in anything other than pristine condition, even if the reason it stopped functioning isn't necessarily related to the damage.
Yeah, so clearly it's not fair if the two issues are unrelated. So, for example, I often get complaints from people who've bought a new bed and the mattress starts sagging quite dramatically within a few weeks or months of using it. And they go back to the retailer and they're told, sorry, look at the T's and C's, there's a stain on the mattress. Obviously, the two are unrelated. But it's used as a reason to invalidate the warranty, which is it's not fair, and it's also not legal in terms of the Consumer Protection Act. But we'll get to that a bit later. Yeah. First, let's have a look at today's case study. It's from Cape Town listener Andrew Bentley, who shared his experience with his Samsung cell phone with us. He started off by saying, I wonder if you'd be interested in looking into the actual value of phone warranties. I have a Samsung phone. I acquired it on contract at MTN Constantia Village in January of last year. It no longer charges, a problem that has got progressively worse. He says the phone should be under warranty. That is Samsung's warranty because the CPA, Consumer Protection Act, covers just the first 6 months of a product's life. So it should be under Samsung warranty, but Samsung will not honor it because I have a small crack on my screen. Something, in this case, obviously unrelated. Now, I think the obviously unrelated is the contentious point here, as you will hear as we get into this issue. Andrew says, I'm told by the people who service the warranties that the phone has to be in absolute pristine condition for the warranty to be honored. The provision of a two-year warranty is therefore a bogus claim, says Andrew, and does nothing for the consumer. Many of us who struggle to afford phones, which are necessary for work, and, you know, find out that a small scratch will now negate a warranty.
Okay, so Andrew did raise the question with Samsung, and he took it into the Samsung and Canal Walk. What did they tell him, Wendy?
So they said that in any case, the screen would have had to be replaced, as the charging port replacement involves a process whereby the old screen is replaced anyway. And he said that seemed to me to cancel the logic of the problem with the screen. For as long as the screen has not caused the problem, surely the screen can be damaged. Anyway, he says he was told that because the screen replacement alone is around 7,000 Rand, they would be reluctant to honor my warranty. Despite their reluctance, says Andrew, I asked whether I could take the phone for assessment wherever they sent the phones to be fixed, as this is no longer the Samsung workshop in Montague Gardens. It's a shop called WeFix in Canal Walk. He got there, asked for an assessment, and they pointed to a sign on the wall. He says, and they were not even willing to look at the phone. Now, that sign carries a long list of things which void a Samsung warranty, including, number one, physical damage, any, and the any is underlined on the notice, any signs of physical damage, including but not limited to drop damage, drop marks. I don't know how many times you drop your phone.
Let's not go there.
For me, it's yeah, okay. So I think, you know, these are things we use constantly in our lives for so much. So drop marks, dents, scratches. That's both light and deep scratches. And nicks. Sure. Nicks. That will void the warranty. And then also on that list, and I haven't got into all of it, is I just thought this one is a standout because I don't think many people realize this. The use of a generic charger and or charging cable will void the Samsung warranty. So there are no conditions there. It's not saying in relation to this alleged fault. So just generally, whatever your complaint is, If you use a generic charger or charging cable, you void your warranty. So I found that quite disturbing, that notice, actually.
Well, absolutely. And so did Andrew. And Andrew's with us on the line to carry on the story with us. Andrew Bentley, thank you very much for joining us on the show today. I appreciate your time. Welcome.
Hi, thanks very much.
So maybe let's take a step back here. Andrew, just how bad was the crack on the screen? And is it located anywhere near to the charging port?
No, well, when I first bought the phone, I had it covered with one of those glass covers that stick on top of it. So I had been using that glass cover up until I took it to the Samsung shop. They looked at the glass cover, which had taken... Oh, it had taken a bit of damage, and they removed it for me, and then they saw this much smaller scratch that was on the screen and nowhere near the port. It's the top left of my screen. It's quite small. It's about a centimeter, and they used that to not honor the warranty.
And, I mean, as far as you're concerned, is that scratch in any way related to anything to do with the activity of charging the phone?
The scratch would have been picked up from normal usage. I mean, I don't do anything really that athletic. So, and no, as far as I can see, it can't be. But they claim that maybe moisture could get in from something like that. But the thing is that they wouldn't even look at it because the warranty was voided. And I don't think that's fair.
Wendy?
So, Andrew, the wording of those warranty voiders, those terms, means that, as we said, even the slightest nick, and I really am clinging to that word, will avoid the warranty. Were you ever explicitly warned about that? Did anyone in that MTN store, when you went to take out the contract, say, please note that, you know, you've got to take extremely good care of this phone, kid glove stuff, because, you know, the slightest little issue with the... you know, the physical casing of the phone is going to void your warranty? Or was there anything sort of unmissable on the box itself, the packaging of the phone? I'm looking for something that is some notification other than the small print wording of the warranty.
No, not as I remember it, but it's over a year ago. As I remember it, a manufacturer's warranty of 2 years was pointed out to me as a reason why I should get the phone. But as it turns out, you know, I wonder why they even bother to have a warranty if you have to keep the phone in a box in silk.
Yeah, I mean, Wendy, it sounds like, I mean, anything other than absolutely out-the-box pristine condition is not going to be accepted, which does, I agree with Andrew, what's the point of offering a warranty if the warranty effectively doesn't mean anything?
Well, certainly the wording of the warranty and certainly what I saw on that notice suggests that, you know, you can't have any signs of wear and tear on the phone. When I started speaking to industry players about that, they said, no, it's on a case-by-case basis and whatever. But the wording for me is problematic because it's quite clear. It's very clear. It's underlined clear. Any
signs of physical damage,
signs of it. So, Andrew, what are your options now? You said just to replace the screen was 7,000. You didn't even go into what the actual repair was going to cost, because that was a deal breaker for you, that initial 7,000. So what have you been doing since?
Well, since then, I left the phone alone for about 5 days. And then I thought I'd try again, and I plugged it in, and it did charge. But since I spoke to you, Samsung have got hold of me. Which you know, again, it's I mean, people who really rely on their phones for their life and work, they don't have access to you as I did. For me, that if it's going to cost me over 7,000 rand just to fix the screen before they even get into the port, if I have to pay for it, that's definitely not something I could afford, nor any reasonable person, I wouldn't imagine, just to fix the phone. So I'm using it. As much as I can. But Samsung have now said that they would take a look at it. But as you know, that was something they refused to do at the outset.
Okay, well, Andrew, maybe stay on the line because we've actually got Justin Hume from Samsung on the line with us, Director of Integrated Mobility at Samsung. And Wendy, I know you'd like to put a few questions directly to him. Justin, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. Delighted to be with you.
Over to you, Wendy.
Thanks, Justin, and thanks for coming on at short notice. I had been going through the communications channels, and I haven't got an answer yet. I've got an acknowledgement. So we must acknowledge that you haven't had time to deal with this particular case of Andrews, but you can talk to the broader issue. Certainly what came up when I was chatting with Andrew off air was that when he started looking at the option of a wireless charger, and he was going from mall to mall, Canal Walk, Tiger Valley, Constantia Village, Table Bay Mall, and he said speaking to the cell phone people in those stores, all of them said that they were aware of charging port problems with Galaxies. And, you know, he says, you know, to have a repair of that magnitude to face on your own because there's a nick or a scratch on your phone was an untenable situation. So I wonder if you wouldn't mind just in terms of, I'm not sure if you were holding to come on air when I read the notice, the wording of that notice that Andrew had counted at WeFix, which would void a Samsung warranty. And it was down to any tiny wicks, any nicks rather, any sign, and that underlined any sign of physical damage. So from a scratch, even a minor scratch, sorry for you, you know, that's the end of your warranty. And I wonder if you could explain for us how that then sits with the Consumer Protection Act, certainly for the first 6 months of the warranty and then Samsung from month seven. But if you've got a cosmetic issue that's unrelated to a, sometimes it will be related, obviously, if it's been a really bad fall. But if you've just got a very sort of wear and tear kind of mark on your phone that's unrelated to the problem that's presented, how is the voiding of the warranty then justified?
100%. And Wendy, yeah, I did hear your commentary there. Firstly, I think to Andrew, I think certainly I'm glad the team got hold of you today and sort of had to go through that process there. And I believe that they will look into it. As when you mentioned that, which I haven't had a lot of time, you caught me a short notice here, but certainly I've had a quick look at it. So if I may first deal with the broader topic of the warranty, I think, which is what you're asking, and then maybe try and pull it back into the situation. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I'm really believe we can find a good resolution with Andrew and his phone. But for the broader topic here, first and foremost, what I'd make the comment and around the charging ports, that is somewhat surprising to me that a charging port is not one of the typical issues that we tend to have to repair on Galaxy. Having said that, I think that's probably very good feedback and insight to get. So I will certainly dive into that. But the repair steps that don't sort of support the claim of the guys in the stores noting that. Now, not to say that they don't experience it. Anyway, I think it's a valuable insight to get and one that I'll be picking up. So if I can move past that to the warranty issue from there. The very first thing I'd say is that typical handset warranties across most manufacturers is 12 months. Samsung was the first and remains committed to a 24-month warranty. Now, kind of seems maybe counterintuitive based upon what you're saying is why we offer it if we expect the device to be in pristine condition. The point is we don't expect it to be in pristine condition at all. We fully understand that. I think, and certainly in Andrew's case here, we at no point are saying that the scratch is related to the charging point issue. Well, I would assume that, okay, from there. I think what we have a look at it. So I'm jumping around slightly, but I would, and you did comment on it there, which is what's in the wording versus what's in the practice. But I want to try and demonstrate why that's there. I'm sure you know, okay. Most Samsung phones are IP68 rated, which is a phenomenal thing, right? I mean, they're water, dust resistant. They, it means they can take the bumps and bruises of life, you know, getting dropped into the sink, whatever it might be. But try and think.
That's right. I mean, sorry, I chatted to Andrew about that. Sorry to jump in, Justin. I just chatted to Andrew about that off air, and he was saying it seems inconsistent if you've got, you know, the videos of the phone being dropped from great height and still working, whatever, that any tiny little blemish on the phone would then invalidate your warranty. So I'm really interested to hear where you're going with this.
100%. So we're not saying that the damage caused externally is the cause of the charging port issue. That's the first distinction I would make there. However, we're going with the IP68 rating is these phones are now sealed, hermetically sealed, okay, in that regard. In order to then go and check the charging port, we have to open the device. Now, and I'm not saying in Andrew's case, I'm talking generally. If the screen is cracked and damaged, if you were to lift up that screen, there is a very real chance that we would be unable to open that device without damaging the screen further, all right? But let's assume we could do that, and then we looked at the charging port and we were to fix it again. We want to then restore that phone, and our objective from a customer service perspective and also from a quality perspective is that once we have repaired the device, that device should be restored to an original shipping condition, if I can put it that way. So we want to reseal the device for IP68, and it then goes through a pressure test. Now, the moment we put that phone on a pressure test, all it's going to do is take a cracked screen and make it worse. Think about if you were standing on a glass pane that's got cracked. We always see this in the movies, right, where somebody's hand is on the glass, and more pressure that goes onto it, the more the glass cracks. That's the situation that we're trying to avoid. So why I say that is in the case where we've got a damaged screen, it can be difficult for us to do the repair requested if the first issue of damage is not dealt with.
Lunch with Pippa Hudson
on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
Right, so we're back with Wendy Nola, and we've been listening to the story of listener Andrew Bentley, whose Samsung phone was having issues with its charging port. And when Andrew took it in for repairs, was told, sorry, we can't touch this phone because there is damage to the screen, a very small crack on the screen, which he was told voided the warranty. We've been trying to get to the bottom of the question of whether it is fair that what appears to be a purely cosmetic issue should impact the warranty on a completely unrelated question. And Justin Hume is with us, Director of Integrated Mobility at Samsung. Justin, apologies, I had to cut you off like that before the news headlines. You were describing to us the difficulty that a cracked screen poses to a team who needs to do any kind of repair on a phone.
Yeah, thanks, Papa. And no problem if she'd like to continue this. And I think the very first thing is that you know, so often I've heard the shows in that where it comes across as the manufacturer trying to be defensive perhaps towards the position. And I think really what I'm trying to offer here is some practical explanation for why the policy is set the way it is. And so if there's difficulty in restoring it, that's the first issue. And so we needed, in this case, in order to be able to effect the repair, or not in this particular case, I'm saying what potentially could happen is to effect the repair if there's external damage, is we might have to do to fix that first issue. Our objective would be to bring the phone back into warranty. So we want to restore the warranty through any service process. So we don't want to invalidate it in perpetuity, but it is ideally to restore that process. Now, I think the one further thing I would make is that, and I suspect it's not the case here with Andrew's phone, but just to use the example, is that where you've gone from damage to the screen, our phones typically ship all customers and have put on a screen protector. That means that the damage has gone through a secondary or a primary layer of defense to the screen. So whilst the screen might have negligible damage, it's obviously taken quite a significant pounding in order to get through perhaps the screen protector to the screen. Again, if it's a small scratch, in this case, possibly not the answer. But again, we need to assess the situation to try and determine if that could then be perhaps a cause of what is the observed symptom that we're seeing in maybe the charging port or in other cases where cameras are damaged and these type of things. So our application of the policy in that point is that what the service centre are required to do is to assess and to say, can we, and apply good judgment to it, can we take this phone, reasonably open it up without causing further damage, so no risk in the disassembly process, and effect the repair. And if that's the case, whether there's a scratch on board or some bumps and bruises on the device, we don't tend to apply the policy. It's where there's a concern that it can't be, or where it's deemed that there is a risk to disassembly and creating a further problem is where they would apply it. And I suspect in that regard, and that's why our team's asked Andrew to go back to the service centre, it sounds that there might have been a level of haste to rejecting it, or maybe the explanation was not clear in that regard. So I hope that gives some insight and open to continuing the conversation around that.
Wendy, before we say goodbye to Justin, any follow-up questions on your side?
Yes, thank you for that. I think most definitely, because I engaged with Andrew at length about this issue and the question of, you know, please understand, this is the issue. You know, if we open it up, this could result because of this crack in your screen. I'm almost 100% certain that didn't happen, and that would certainly alleviate miscommunications and suspicions around such warranty issues. So in short then, if Andrew's phone had a little nick on the casing itself, so the screen was still intact and there was, you know, from a drop, say, you know, I've done it to my phone, you know, the corner gets a little nick or gouge or whatever you want to call it, would he not have encountered the resistance that he did?
No, and again, I think that's the outtake that I've got of this, and from reading the query to our media team here, is we need to make sure that the service teams are applying proper diligence to that, to understand, can they do an effective repair to the product? Obviously, I mean, if you just simply walk through our service repair centres today, 99% of the phones, 99.5% of the phones that you see in there will have scratches, things, bumps, whatever it might be. So we don't, it's not an automatic disqualification in that regard, but we do need the right to disqualify it where there are those issues. And if I can almost do a bit of a shameless punt here, we do offer a service to customers for this reason called Samsung Care Plus. If you take it within the first 30 days of purchase, it's a very nominal fee. For example, on our Galaxy S21, it's R499 that we're offering it at. We've in the past offered it for free, and there's a number of reasons why we can't do that now because of certain fortunate issues and that have transpired. But at a very nominal fee, we then insure and cover that additional warranty. But we need to do it in a responsible way in partnership with our customers. So there is a way forward in that regard. And, in which case, under a Samsung Care environment, or policy, our very first course of action is to replace the screen. In fact, we do the screen and the battery and everything like that, and basically restore the phone into a factory shipped type of condition, and then effect the repair that relates maybe to the concern that has been experienced. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much for that explanation, Justin. Appreciate you coming on to join us at short notice.
Thank you so much, Justin Hume, Director of Integrated Mobility at Samsung. And Andrew, just before we say goodbye to you, I know you were listening to that feedback. Glad to hear Justin taking on board the need to emphasize the importance of proper communication around these issues with the customer. How confident are you feeling, having heard his response and knowing that the Samsung team has reached out to you again today, that maybe you will get some joy?
Yeah, well, I'm grateful for that. But just coming back, though, if most of the phone these days is screen and one has to go through the screen in order to repair it, surely, and I think one of you have hinted that their phone has a crack on it, it seems as though most people are going to have some sort of blemish on their screen. I'm not entirely sure that shouldn't be stated on the warranty, just so that we get some sort of understanding, and or even if a warranty should be offered. if those are the circumstances required in order to fix the phone. So it sounds like you can't really go through the back of the phone very easily to fix it. And in my case, it's really, I just want to be able to charge my phone. I'm not particular on a pressure test or anything like that. It's just those issues. And I think the warranty just needs to be made a bit clearer.
Absolutely. Andrew, I want to thank you for helping to clarify this issue and bring it to the attention of our listeners this afternoon by being willing to come on and share your story with us. Appreciate your doing so, and I really hope that you do get some resolution. By the way, while we've been talking, Wendy, three messages in from other Samsung Galaxy users on the charging issues. It's certainly not uncommon based on this small snapshot. One saying, I've had repeated problems charging a Galaxy S9. I get an error message that there is water in the charging port, even though the phone has never been near any water. Searching online reveals many similar complaints of this nature from Galaxy owners who note that it is a known problem with Galaxy phones. Arlene saying about the problem charging a Samsung phone, we have found that using a normal charging plug and not the fast charging one that comes with the phone seems to solve the problem. Our phone is a quite old one, a Note 8, so it was not within any warranty agreement. It does take much longer, but at least the phone can be successfully charged. Okay, and a few other people simply saying, search online, you'll see that charging port issues are a regular complaint with the Galaxy phone. So that's very interesting feedback, and I hope Justin will take that on board in addition to what we've already heard. Wendy, before we leave this particular issue, you have reached out to the Consumer Goods and Services Ombud for a comment on it. What did they say?
So Mkhatu Patlele, who's the ombud herself, said, yes, we do get complaints of this sort, especially with regard to TVs and cell phones. She says Section 56 rather, of the CPA provides that, I'm going to summarize because she quoted from the Act, that the supplier doesn't have to honor the warranty if goods have been altered contrary to instructions, or after leaving the control of the producer or importer, a distributor or retailer, as the case may be. And she says, suppliers rely on that exemption to avoid warranties on the basis that a phone or an item was damaged by the consumer after the consumer took possession, and therefore they are under no obligation to honor the warranty. Mm. She says, and this is interesting, it is some form of recourse if somebody finds themselves in this situation and the manufacturer won't, there's no wriggle room with the manufacturer. She says, in these instances, we appoint technical experts to conduct a physical damage assessment to determine if indeed the cracked screen, for example, was the cause of the defect, or we request a technical report from the supplier. If the assessment indicates that the defect that the consumer is complaining about was not caused by the cracked screen, we recommend the honouring of the warranty. And then the sad part. However, says Mkhatu, as you know, our recommendations are not binding. Mm-hmm. So sometimes suppliers agree to honour the warranty and sometimes they do not.
Ouch.
Mm. So at least it's some way to go if you feel very strongly that the terms and conditions of that warranty have been used inappropriately, and that your little physical blemish on the phone has nothing to do whatsoever with the problem that the phone is presented with under warranty.
Wendy, thank you very much for the investigation you've done on this one. And Andrew, please let us know if things are resolved on your side so we can give some feedback to our audience. After the short break, we continue focusing on cell phones, although this time we're taking a look at which networks offer what quality of coverage in South Africa. Jan Vermeulen from MyBroadband standing by to share with us the findings of their latest network quality report.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
WhatsApp on 072-567-1567.
Okay, Wendy, before we talk to Jan about network coverage, a question from Nikki in Milnerton. Wanting to know, is there an ombudsman to go to when you don't get any joy from MTN? Any suggestions for Nikki?
It depends what the issue is. So if it's around billing and contracts and that sort of thing, it would be the Consumer Goods and Services Ombudsman. If it's about connectivity, that sort of thing, that and some billing issues, it would be I've now gone completely blank, the ICASA.
Okay.
Independent Communications Authority of South Africa. Yeah, so it just depends what the nature of the complaint is.
Okay, thanks for that. Well, the nature of the complaint is less likely to be one of network coverage, apparently, Wendy, because we've got some very interesting news to share about insights into which of the networks have got the best coverage in South Africa.
Yes, so my broadband, bless them, they do all these wonderful tests and then tell us based on real data, things that are important for us to know. So their insights, quarter two, 2021, mobile network quality report has just been released, and it reveals that MTN has the best mobile network in South Africa based on speeds. So the report is based on 304,000 speed tests that were performed by thousands of my broadband speed test app users across the country between the 1st of April this year and the end of June, so that entire quarter. The average mobile download speed was 37.49 megabytes per second, and the average upload speed 13.59. MTN had the highest average download speed of 67.22 megabytes per second, followed by Vodacom at 33.74. So quite a bit lower.
Sure, significant
there.
Difference.
Dramatically lower, yes. Telkom on 29-ish and Cell C on 20.72 megabytes per second. Rain, and this is borne out in my complaints, just 11.83 megabytes per second. So
okay, well, we've got
quite a dramatic result there, I think.
Really interesting. I would have expected there to be only fractional differences, but those are really marked. Wendy, thanks for pointing this out. We've got Jan Vermeulen on the line with us, the editor at large at mybroadband.co.za. And I'll add the bless you, Jan, and your team for the work that you do and the way you have of communicating it to ordinary lay people like myself who don't understand the technical stuff very well. It's always great to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm glad you were able to get sorted with Samsung on this query.
Absolutely.
The previous query.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I want to say thank you to Jan on that as well, because he was very instrumental on getting with Justin Hume to speak to us at such short notice.
Fantastic.
So I love how you are so cooperative with other media, Jan. Thank you for that.
I'll second
that. Only a pleasure, anytime.
Thank you, I'll second that. Jan, okay, to this very interesting latest quarterly report. So MTN virtually double the average download speed of its nearest competitor. Is that a surprise? Is it any different to what previous surveys have shown?
No, it's not a surprise to us, but I can imagine how it would be a surprise, you know, when you see this dramatic result in front of you, because it is marked. But MTN has just been aggressively investing in its network, just much more than Vodacom has been in the past several years, and the fruits of that is borne out in the data. You know, the two networks offer comparable coverage throughout South Africa. You know, some places will have better MTN coverage while others will have better Vodacom coverage. You know how it goes. You know, just because MTN is better on average, that doesn't mean it's going to be better specifically in your spot.
Yeah.
But we test all over the country. I've been instrumental in gathering the data. So we do the data that's gathered from the community, but then we also have a control set of data that I have been personally gathering by driving around the major metros in the country and collecting that data. And so I know exactly what's involved in actually gathering this data. And as I said, you know, the result that MTN has achieved is on the back of just immense investment into its network, where Vodacom decided to take its foot off the petrol for a little while, and so MTN has just rocketed past them, and you can see Vodacom now starting to up its capital expenditure on its network, and there's probably a nice fight in this, you know, in future between the two major operators in the country, and it just illustrates why infrastructure level competition is so important in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to recap the figures, MTN top with an average download speed of 67 megabytes per second, more than double Vodacom at 33 and Telkom at 29. It's more than triple Cell C sitting on 20 megs per second. And that figure of Rain sitting at only 11.83 might horrify some listeners, Jan. Again, Wendy says she's not at all surprised because she sees the results in her inbox. Does it surprise you?
Yes. No, it doesn't surprise me either.
It was a long walk with Rain to get them to acknowledge the issues on their network. And I should highlight that our report is not purely based on download speeds. We take into account download speeds, upload speeds, latency, and other factors as well. We also do consumer satisfaction surveys and stuff, to ultimately come out with a rating. But we take like an aggregate rating of download speed, upload speed, and latency to get sort of an average network performance rating out of a network. Okay. And MTN outperforms there as well. So it just outperforms its competitors on all metrics. And so regarding Rain specifically, It doesn't surprise us, and unfortunately, because yes, we do see the complaints, and you know the feedback I've been getting from folks is that Rain, when it works, it is phenomenal. It is a service that can compete with the likes of fiber in terms of the network performance that you get. But in the places in South Africa where it doesn't work, where the towers are oversubscribed and stuff, people really complain about a lack of connectivity and sort of not getting what they pay for. And so Rain has taken this on board. It's where it can and where people are experiencing problems on its 4G network. It's upgrading people to its 5G network for free, for example. Okay. And so Rain is doing everything it can to turn this around, because I think they realize that, you know, you can very quickly gain the reputation of being the poor man's network or the underperforming network in the country, and they definitely don't want that. They want to be, you know, the most affordable network in the country, but they also want to provide a service that competes toe-to-toe with the likes of Vodacom and MTN.
Jan Vermeulen, thank you so much. Editor-at-large at mybroadband.co.za. And of course, you can visit the site to read in more detail the findings of that latest quarterly survey on the network coverage. Really appreciate your assistance today. And the good news to take away from this, by the way, that the average download speed in South Africa is 10 megabytes per second faster, Wendy, than it was this time a year ago.
Absolutely, MyBroadband pointed out that that's because of increased network investment, and particularly by MTN, and temporary spectrum that was issued to the mobile operators during lockdown. I remember reporting on that story. So this temporary spectrum helped mobile networks to increase their network capacity and improve their average speeds during the lockdown. So it's good to see that that actually worked, and the result was that we did, on average, have faster download speeds as a result in South Africa, because compared to other countries, as you know, we don't fare very well on that score, and we pay a lot more than they do as well. So I was interested to know, and I'm going to look it up off air, the subscriber numbers. It'd be interesting to see in South Africa, both prepaid and postpaid subscribers, where those numbers sit now between MTN and Vodacom. It'd be interesting to do that. So I'll have to have a look off air, because we've lost,
we're out of time.
Jan's not with us anymore. But to be continued, for sure.
Okay, a very cell phone heavy show today. Wendy, thanks as always for the investigation and the fighting you do on behalf of our listeners and their consumer issues. We look forward to talking again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Pippa.
Keep well and keep warm. Wendy Nola on the line by Skype. And just a reminder that if you do want to raise an issue with her, the email address to use is consumer@nola.co.za, spelled KNOWLER.